Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so hello everyone and welcome to Blogging Theology. Today I'm delighted to talk again to Professor Keith Ward. You're most welcome, sir.
Hello. Yeah, thank you.
We spoke to Keith Ward, I think it was April last year, so it's just been just over a year since he was a guest on Blogging Theology. And for those who don't know, Keith is actually an English Anglican priest, philosopher and theologian. He is a fellow of the British Academy and a priest of the Church of England. Comparative theology and the relationship between science and religion are two of his main topics of interest. And he was Regius Professor of Divinity at the University of Oxford from 1991 to 2004. Now, some years ago, when I worked in Holborn, which is a part of central London, I was in the audience when Keith gave a lunchtime lecture at Gresham College, which, by the way, has been giving lectures to the public since 1592, I kid you not. And the lecture was entitled Religion and the Quantum World, Religion and the Quantum World. And I remember being utterly enthralled and fascinated by the presentation, which, amongst other things, demonstrated why materialism, this materialist doctrine, is no longer tenable, and why idealism, philosophical idealism, is a much more plausible worldview. Now, all this in the light of quantum mechanics, in other words, in light of the new physics, modern physics. So today, Keith has very kindly agreed to discuss this subject again on Blogging Theology. So would you like to introduce us to this topic, Keith?
Right. Thank you, Paul. Yes. I can't remember my Gresham College lecture, but I've got some more things I can say. And I do think you're right. You stated it very carefully and accurately, I thought, that materialism is no longer a scientific option, but idealism is more plausible. It's not overwhelmingly obvious, even to quantum physicists, but lots of them do accept it. So what I'll do is I'll take three of the major themes of quantum theory, and I won't be technical, so there's a bit of oversimplification going on. There are no equations or diagrams. But these three things are what have changed physics out of all recognition since 1905. The quantum revolution started in 1905 with a paper by Einstein, which proved that light doesn't only move in waves, light waves, but moves in particles, quanta. And that's why it's called the quantum revelation. And so the first thing I want to talk about briefly is the wave-particle duality, which all particle physicists accept, but nobody understands. As Richard Feynman, a very leading practitioner, said, no one understands quantum mechanics. So I'm not going to pretend that I do. If Richard Feynman did, I certainly couldn't possibly. But it works. That is to say, we wouldn't have mobile phones or any computers, anything like that, without quantum mechanics. It definitely works. It's what it means or what it implies about reality that is so difficult. And the wave-particle duality can be put picturesquely by looking at Higgs boson. That was in the news fairly recently. When I say recently, I mean in the last 10 years, I suppose. And Higgs boson was said to be a particle discovered in CERN in Geneva, which that particle gives mass to all objects in the universe. And you may say, how can a particle give mass to everything in the universe? And the answer to that is totally weird, but correct. And it is that the Higgs boson as a particle is the signature particle of an infinite field which extends, like gravity, throughout the whole universe. And it does, in fact, give mass to particles which pass through it. So it's not just a particle, it's a field. And field theory is what has taken over, really, from particle theory. So people used to think, well, atoms are like little billiard balls and they bump into one another and they make up more complicated things. Well, nowadays, quantum mechanists would say, well, it's not that atoms don't exist, it's that they're actually things that we seem to observe but show a deeper reality, which are fields of force. You know, everybody knows the one equation. I'm sorry, I'm going to mention one equation, but everybody knows this one, E equals mc squared. Energy is mass times the speed of light squared. Energy and mass are equivalent, in other words. So mass, that's which makes little particles, which makes things, which makes them heavy, is identical with energy, which takes many different forms. So it doesn't have to be material. It doesn't have to be stuff, heavy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So when you talk about waves and particles, you're saying something rather complex. And I'll give you the formula straight away in English. And that is that...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
There are probability waves. These are waves that not physical waves, they're probability waves. And if you take the square of the amplitude of a probability wave, it will give you the probability of finding a particle at some point. That's a bit complicated. But what it means is there's a huge argument in quantum mechanics about whether waves actually exist or whether they are mathematical constructs, which because you've got to square them to get the probability of finding a particle. The important thing is that probability has taken over from certainty. Right. Now, if you look at Newtonian physics, it looks as though everything's certain. If you get your initial parameters correct, you can predict what's going to happen next. Incidentally, Newton himself didn't believe that, but that's what other people made of Newton.
Oh, so really?
I didn't
realize that. That's an interesting caveat there. Yeah,
right. But he thought gravity was actually objects were connected at a distance by God, but he didn't say that in his physics. He just said we won't talk about that. So anyway, he did have the things which other people interpreted as a deterministic relationship between things, so you could predict everything from one initial state. Now, in field theory and quantum mechanics, that's not true. You can only predict probabilities. And that's very important because, of course, improbable things can happen. In fact, some quantum mechanists, including Brian Cox of television fame, he actually wrote a book called Everything That Can Happen Does Happen. So he really wants even the very improbable things to happen somewhere, maybe not in this universe, but it's in some universe. That's just to show you how far quantum mechanics has moved away from Newton's idea of one absolute space in which you locate little massive, heavy gravitational bodies. And instead, you've got an Einsteinian space, which is bendy, which space-time bends moves around and shifts. So it's not an absolute reality. And you have probabilistic wave fields, which give you the probability of finding particles, but they're not themselves particles. One other example I'll take simply is that an electron, when I was at school, I was told that an electron was a little thing like a planet of negative electric charge moved around the nucleus of an atom which had a positive charge. Now, that is totally wrong because electrons aren't just particles. There are probabilities of finding particles under certain experimental conditions. But if you say, what is really there? It's not a particle. Well, the particle comes about when it's observed. Quantum mechanists talk about collapsing the wave function. So you have a wave function, which is a very mathematical entity, and you collapse that, and you see a particle. Let me just final remark about that element that I'm talking about. I'm going to mention the John Wheeler delayed choice, a double split experiment. So what this is you have you fire photons through two slits, and if it's a photon that you've got, if it's a particle, then it will go through one slit or the other slit, but not both. Right. And it will produce on a screen on the other side of the slit, it will produce a wave interference pattern, which is like a bandwidth, as if waves were hitting the shore. You get a pattern of the sound. Right? So that shows that light is a wave. But if you shoot a photon through a double slit and you record, you observe it's doing so by having a device which will record which slit it goes through. Right. Remember, it's supposed to only go through one, or it goes through both. We don't know which. Well, if you observe it, it turns into a particle. So fire a photon through a double slit, and you get a wave pattern.
Right.
But observe it going through the slit, and you get a particle hitting the screen. So you get little spots on the screen. It's not a wave pattern at all. So observing it changes what it does. It changes what it is. So Wheeler would say, but that means the wave is changed into a particle when you observe it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's even worse than that, because if you let the photon go through the split, you don't know whether it's gone through both to be a wave or one to be a particle. You don't know that. Mm. After it's gone through the split, you observe it. You have a little device for observing it. You still find it turns into a particle, even after it's gone through the slits. So that is why it's incomprehensible. Nobody knows why that happens at all. But the bottom line is this, because the bottom line is what you seem to have in reality is wavelengths, which are not physical. They're more mathematical, really. They're constructs more than anything else. They stand for something, but we're not clear. Certainly not particles. But when you observe them, you get particles. And the bottom line there is observation creates particles, i.e. mass. Particles are massive things, they've got mass. So that makes the link between mind, consciousness, observation, and physical reality. And that's why materialism doesn't seem to be appropriate or adequate for quantum mechanics. It's just not lumps of matter. It's a much more complicated process. So people like Roger Penrose, for example, who with Stephen Hawking did the black holes mathematics, he says, actually, the platonic, he calls it platonic reality of mathematics, is more real than the physical things that we observe. So matter is not even totally real. It's just an appearance to us, to the human mind, of something which is mathematically expressible, but whatever it is, it's not matter, but it's something we can't picture at all. I mean,
he's invoking the name of Plato, this ancient Greek philosopher, who was basically out of a respectable society with the rise of modern science at the beginning, which was much more focusing on the material reality of this world rather than the transcendent reality of ideas and forms and so on. So you're saying that he's... The Plato seems to have come back through the back door in credibility.
Oh, very much so. I mean, nowadays quantum mechanists are speaking about the multiverse, and the multiverse is many universes, maybe infinitely, but a huge number of other universes. Now, if you think about that, these are space times which are not in our space time. So if you ask the question, where are they? The answer is they're not anywhere, not anywhere in our space-time. So you said, well, some quantum theorists talk about super space, but they're just inventing a word for that. They just mean there are completely different space-times, and they perhaps operate on different principles. We don't know. As Brian Cox said, maybe every possible universe exists. Maybe there are millions of them. And I think the Astronomer Royal believes that as well. So it's quite a widely held belief. But it's very controversial. I mean, what's controversial is it sensible to talk about many, many different universes? Or is it sensible to talk about platonic mathematical entities which somehow are seen by us as physical things? That's the Plato bit. Or do you just give up and say, I'm not going to ask that question, I'm just going to do the maths, right? And they take...
It's not that materialism is dead, therefore. It can't anyway cope with the extraordinary probabilities and complexities of quantum fields. We're not dealing with discrete like balls or billiard balls where you could just tap and see. Nothing like that. It's to do with probabilities and fields.
There are no billiard balls.
And all that jazz. So idealism then is an obvious thing to look to. But also you can simply shrug your shoulders like the French do here and say, We don't know. We're agnostic.
That's right. I think that is a very widespread view. I mean, people like Brian Cox is visibly contemptuous of religion. He doesn't have any time for religion. But that means he's failing to make the link between the fact that all these many universes are no longer made of matter. It's energy in different wave forms and probabilities. Well, where are you to say that those exist? Well, now this is the bit that wouldn't be accepted, but would be respectfully heard by all quantum mechanists. It could be the mind of God. You say, well, mathematical entities, you know, Plato didn't put them anywhere. He just said, well, they just are mathematical entities. But in fact, mathematics exists in minds. That's where maths exists. And so to say that the mathematical reality which is behind the appearances of the material universe is the mind of God makes sense. Now, I've never met a quantum mechanist, and I know a lot of them, who thinks that's ridiculous. So they don't all believe it, or even if they believe in the mind of God, they say, well, I don't mean the Jewish God, I don't mean the Old Testament God, I don't mean the Christian God, right? No. Because they don't like those legends, as Einstein would have called them, for example. But Einstein himself believed in a vast intelligence, a mathematically elegant intelligence underlying the universe. And that's why he said things like, God doesn't play dice with the universe, because he had this idea of a mind-like reality which underlies the physical reality that we see. So that's the first point I wanted to make. Just there's a general acceptance that there are wave fields.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. And the particles are probably produced by observation. But how you interpret that further, whether you get to God or not, seems to me very likely that you do. But to many people, they'd prefer to remain agnostic about that. They'd say, but it's not matter anyway. It's something more than matter. You know, even Stephen Hawking, who was not a theist at all, even he did say that the Big Bang, when the universe originated and the whole existence of the universe springs from something beyond space and time, which is mathematically elegant. And that's the move. That's the revolution. So that's the first part. The second is they are interconnected and they won't take as long. The second one is indeterminacy. This is the Heisenberg indeterminacy principle. Again, it is just a fact, has been experimentally proved many times, that it is absolutely impossible to predict, to tell, to describe, to pin down both the location and the momentum, the speed, really, of a fundamental particle, right? Given we're looking at particles with particle accelerators and so on, you can't, if you know their location, you can't know their momentum. And if you know their momentum, you can't tell their location. That's because they're waves. a wave. You might know what speed it's going, but you can't say where it is because it's spread out. It's spread out over the whole universe, in fact. So it has no location. But if you get a location, you're making it into a particle, really. And then you can't say what speed it's going. So again, that's totally counterintuitive. And quantum mechanists are, I think, totally agreed on saying this is not just human ignorance. It's a fact about the world.
Oh, well, but that's a really important point, because I know people who say, oh, no, it's simply because of our ignorance that we can't comprehend this. But you're saying it's intrinsically unknowable. And that's a really important. So it doesn't matter about the advance of science. We cannot know intrinsically the position and the momentum of these things.
That's true. And the reason for that is they're not really particles. Right. So they're speaking of them as though they're particles. It's helpful in some ways, but actually it's not true to reality. So so it's a very important, this is called objective indeterminacy. It's not subjective. It's not, I just can't tell. It's that actually reality is not like that at all. Now, what way bringing, you don't have to bring religion in here either, but if you did want to bring God in, you'd be able to say, actually, we can show that the universe is not deterministic just by physical laws. It is indeterminate. There are open futures. There are different ways in which things could go. And we simply don't know. We can prove that we can know all the causal factors which make things happen as they do, because here's location and momentum. We can prove you can't know both of those. And of course, there's also dark energy and dark matter. There are hundreds of things we don't know. So it'd be stupid to say, I know every causal thing in the universe, and so I can prove that a deterministic view is true. You can't say that. So you must see the universe as open, and that leaves it open for there to be divine action in the universe without breaking any laws, because the laws are only probabilistic. I think that's an advance in understanding. So that's the principle of indeterminacy. The third one, the last one I'll talk about, is entanglement. Now, that's a very interesting one. It was John Bell in 1964 in Geneva who came up with the Bell theorem and the notion of entanglement. She's very new, 1964. It's not all that long ago. And entanglement is that if two fundamental particles, talk about particles again, remembering they're not just particles, but let's say if two fundamental particles interact, so exchange electric charge, for example, with each other, and then they separate and go off perhaps light years away from each other, they continue to interact forever. So if the electric charge on one of them, say 4 light years away, changes from positive to negative, then the other particle it interacted with, which is, let us suppose, still on Earth, will change from negative to positive.
And this happens instantaneously, does it not? After 10 hours or a million years, it's instantaneously.
It's instantaneous. And of course, for Einstein's theory of relativity, nothing can go faster than the speed of light. So this is quite impossible.
Absolutely. And yet this has been empirically demonstrated now. This is an empirical fact.
It's an empirical fact. There are different attempts to understand it, but remember John Wheeler or Richard Feynman, who said you can't really understand it, you just got to accept that's what it's like. But the thing is, if the Big Bang theory is true, which it probably is, then at the beginning of this universe, every particle, when they started to originate and come into existence, was entangled with every other.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up.
CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
And that means that every particle in the universe, as it's expanded, is still affected by every other particle in the universe. Wow. In other words, you can only understand what's happening in one part of the universe if you understand the whole universe and the way that it's entangled with things. As John Polkinghorne, who taught me most of what I know about quantum physics, as he used to say, if a particle a million light years away from here changes its electric charge, then that will affect things on the Earth. Now, those effects are usually subatomic, so we're not going to usually notice them. But of course, sometimes they will, at critical points, have huge effects. And we can never tell when that will happen because we can't get a million light years away. So the causal nexus of the universe is it's more holistic, it's more interwoven than anything that Newton might have imagined. Actually, we talked about Newton very briefly, and let me quote what he said in Principia Mathematica, his great work. He actually said, nobody with any intelligence would think that it was possible for objects to influence one another at a distance. And that's Newton.
I found you wrong, unfortunately. So,
Well, yes, he was wrong about that, but it remains a problem. And that's because of the fields in quantum mechanics, in field theory, which are infinite, of course. There isn't a gap between them. The gravitational field operates throughout the universe. If you say, where is it? It's just everywhere. Mm. And that's what Newton didn't get. He couldn't see how these objects... Because although Newton was a Christian believer, he was a mechanist as well, actually. He did think the matter was lumps of stuff.
Yes.
But when you get away from that idea, then, of course, there can be causal connections which are not physical. They don't obey Einstein's theory of relativity. And this is one of the problems of modern physics. I've checked this out with many physicists, and they all assure me it's true, but they don't think it's relevant. But what is true is that Einstein's theory of relativity contradicts quantum mechanics. There's a contradiction. They don't worry about it because quantum mechanics is about very, very small things, subatomic things, and relativity is about very large things. So they don't have to worry about it. But they will admit that theoretically something's got to give. One day some genius will come along and unite them.
There'll be a new paradigm, and somehow this will make sense on a big scale and a small scale together.
So let me try to bring that to a conclusion there. I mean, I think one thing it shows is that science is only the beginning of understanding the universe. There are many things that science does not understand. That doesn't mean religion's going to explain it. It just means science can't exclude it. So you can't say we've got a completely adequate picture of the universe, like Richard Dawkins has said to me on occasion. We've got a complete understanding of the universe. We don't need anything else. Well, that's as far from the truth as you could possibly get. We now know we understand hardly anything. We know nothing about dark energy, really. So we've got wave-particle duality. We've got the entanglement of all things in the universe with each other, even on a physical level. We've got probability and indeterminacy in the universe. Well, that's a very different universe. It's more dynamic. It's more open. It's more relational. And the causal factors in such a universe are much more open to non-physical influences. And I presume God would, of course, be a non-physical influence. So my understanding is a lot of quantum physicists do not like talking about God because they think they would have to play guitars and wave their hands in the air and do all sorts of things like that. They don't like that bit of God in churches. So they don't like churches. But if you talk about the elegant mathematical structure of the universe and its beauty and awesomeness and its openness and its probabilistic nature, they'll say, yes, it is much more mysterious and much more awesome than we ever thought. If you want to call that God, they might say, well, you can do that. But, you know, we're certainly open to the idea, but we're not going to become religious. That's the general attitude. Although some are religious. Let me end my exposition with one or two quotes.
Oh, please.
From Max Planck. I mean, these are all absolutely top rate.
These are all Nobel Prize winning physicists, I think.
They're all like prize.
Wheeler and others are all physicists of the highest level. Yeah.
They are, yeah. And Max Planck says, I regard consciousness as fundamental. Matter is derivative from consciousness.
Wow.
Eugene Wigner, the content of consciousness is an ultimate reality. John von Neumann, perhaps the best mathematician of them all, said, all real things are contents of consciousness. So that's just three quotes, and there are lots of others too, to show that idealistic view that consciousness and things in the mind are actually prior to and causes of physical things. And the physical things are appearances to us, to our brains, of things that we can't even picture, though mathematics gives us a little explanation of how things work. So the world of science since 1905, it's as new as that, has changed out of all recognition. And the sad thing is that in schools, because quantum physics is so difficult, it's not usually made a big thing of. And I think clergy in particular, or theologians, don't like to get involved in science too much, again, because it's a different subject altogether. Mm-hmm. But I think people like John Paul Kuhn, and there are many others too, who are quantum physicists, understand that the world has changed and we need to see matter not as the one important and ultimate reality, but as something manifesting something more mysterious beyond it, something mathematically elegant, and maybe something very like a cosmic mind. And I think that's the most plausible view that I myself can think of. So,
Well, thank you for the exposition. Absolutely fascinating. And some sort of key themes struck me there. The mysteriousness of this new science, this new physics, since was it 1905 or something, where Einstein, he worked as a clerk in a patents office, didn't he? In
yes.
Or something. He was his humble clerk writing stuff, physics, which would just overthrow the received 19th century paradigm, and for that small, almost like the butterfly effect in chaos, you know, had this potential effect and changed absolutely everything. But also that the universe is in some sense an expression of consciousness. This idea of the primacy of consciousness, which for a religious person is just another word for something else, of course, the G word, which we can't mention in polite society in many places, but it's just a kind of a secularized way of speaking of the same reality, that consciousness is the fundamental. And you've given these incredible quotes here. And yet I'm also struck by talking to people, not religious people, how that materialism still seems to be a thing out there in the zeitgeist, in the media. And yet we're kind of behind the curve on this, are we not, if we're still inhabiting this paradigm? Because, as you say, the physics has moved on since a patents clerk in 1905 in Switzerland, and a revolution in our understanding of physics. So I found it interesting how things lag behind in society, behind our understandings in physics. example.
And part of this is because a lot of the understanding of the scientific world is not from physicists, but from biologists, like Richard Dawkins, for example, who's a zoologist. And they don't really concern themselves professionally with ultimate questions about the nature of the universe and whether waves or particles are important. They don't deal with that. They deal with things they can touch and feel, and cells and DNA, which they can see with microscopes. And also, biology is notoriously difficult for a believer because there are so many tragedies and deaths and extinctions. And so for a biologist, they don't like to think there is purpose. They hate that there is purpose in the universe. And I think that's what's contributed to the understanding. But they don't always see, and I'm sorry to say, Richard Dawkins doesn't always see that actually biology depends upon physics. And in the end, the things that happen in biology are going to be physically caused. So you have to know the nature of the physical before you can fully understand the biological. So I myself think biology will have a similar revolution to the quantum revolution in physics quite soon, I should think.
I hope you're right. But if consciousness is the fundamental reality out of which emerges or is expressed by the consciousness, the physical universe we have, if that's the underlying philosophical premise of idealism or the worldview that you're articulating, then we as conscious beings, as particular instances of consciousness, our brains then is kind of a top down, to use Polkinghorne's top down, bottom up language he uses in his books. Although people don't know, John Polkinghorne, who very sadly recently passed away, was professor of mathematical physics, I should say, at University of Cambridge. He was a leading quantum physicist. He worked at CERN, and then later in his career, he resigned and became a priest of the Church of England, but also, like Keith, a major Christian theologian. He was a scientist / theologian, distinguished in both fields, which is a remarkable achievement. And you've obviously referenced him there. But so coming back to the particular minds that we inhabit, if that's the right way, are you saying that, and this touches on the biology side of things,
right?
If our minds if consciousness is prior and our conscious minds are in some sense an expression of this more fundamental consciousness, are our brains then, how do we describe our brain, are the material physical brain within that paradigm? Are they conduits or mechanisms, or what kind of language do we use to express our brains in that paradigm?
Instruments, I would say. The brain is the instrument of consciousness. And the brain is what filters out information from that unknown quantum world and turns it into things which we can understand, like colors. The colors, we're wearing bluish shirts, but blue doesn't exist in the world of physics. I mean, it's just a wavelength of light. But our brain actually turns that into a conscious experience of blue. So the brain is a sort of instrument, a medium, a channel between a physical universe and the nature of mind. So when we're talking about idealism, I don't mean there is no physical universe. I mean there is a physical universe, but it couldn't exist without mind.
So you're disagreeing with George Berkeley or Bishop Berkeley, who famously held to immaterialism. It seems to be saying that he appeared to deny the existence of material substance altogether. And what we perceive is simply everything is ideas perceived by the mind. You're saying, no, there is a mind-independent objective reality of a material nature out there. So you haven't gone as far as Berkeley did in his...
Well, I think Berkeley did actually say what I'm saying, and that he is widely misunderstood by other people. But the thing is that the consciousness has evolved. Is you get conscious at various levels. I mean, animals, etc. Humans are the best things we know on this planet, probably, from a point of view of consciousness. But it has evolved in a certain way. But the evolving world itself is a content of the divine mind. And I think this is what Berkeley was saying. He wasn't saying there's... He raises the question in one of his books, what if there was a desert with no human beings ever seeing it? Would it exist? And he says, yes, it would, because the mind of God would make it exist. There is a mind, but it's not your mind. It's the mind of God. So Berkeley did think there were physical things, but the physical things were actually ideas in the mind of God, not in your mind. So they're there whether you're or not. Right.
So the colors. So when I leave my room, and this has various colors, when I leave the room, as far as I'm concerned, the colors don't exist. They're just products of wave particle wave theory and so on. But are you saying because God perceives it, therefore the colors do actually exist in the mind of God and persist in some way?
Well, Berkeley had two senses of the word idea. When he said all ideas are in the mind, one sense is what we see, the colored world of three-dimensional solid objects. If we didn't exist, or if we weren't looking, if we weren't in the room, that wouldn't exist, but there would be something that existed, which would be the idea in the mind of God. That would be the quantum world. So it's the quantum world, and he didn't say that, of course. He didn't know about the quantum world. But he did make a distinction between ideas in God and ideas that God made perceptible to humans.
Right.
So there is that distinction. So, in fact, Berkeley's not as bad as he sounds if you say there's no matter. There is matter.
It's widely misunderstood, because I misunderstood in the immaterialist sense of denying. Anyway, but we've covered that. But
he did. I agree. I see why you said, because he did call himself an immaterialist. But he also said, if you want to call these ideas in the mind of God matter, that's all right by me.
Okay. Well, that's kind of reassuring, I suppose. So just to tease this one a bit further. So we've agreed that consciousness is the fundamental reality. It's prior to any particular material extants that we see, and these material realities are expressive, or the products, or created, are being created ongoing, creatio continua, by this consciousness. So does that not mean then that in terms of evolution, human evolution, other forms of evolution, that we are dealing with a mind-directed process, and not, as some biologists or zoologists you might have mentioned before believe, a purely non-teleological, non-directed process which is utterly random and purposeless? Are we dealing with teleology here? That's what I'm trying. Is that now coming back in?
Well, I think it is utterly wrong to say that the processes of mutation in biology are random. They're not random, they're probabilistic. That's the whole point. I mean, they're governed by the laws of physics, and there are laws of physics. I mean, there are laws. You can't turn into an elephant overnight. I mean, there are laws which kind of direct give you certain possibilities, but the laws are probabilistic, so they give open alternatives, but not infinitely extended alternatives, just within a limited range. So to talk about randomness is a bit misleading. I've heard biologists talk about errors, transmission errors, when cells mutate, as they do, and they say there are copying errors in mutation. But these copying errors led to us. I mean, that's hard to see them as errors, really. They're changes, they're mutations in accordance with the probabilistic laws of physics. So that's what many biologists hadn't grasped, the probabilistic nature of things, which has changed the universe from an unconscious, uncomplicated, unstructured, inelegant beginning, the Big Bang, when there was no complexity and no organization at all, to the existence of life forms which are able to understand their own natures and change them to some degree. Now, if that's not progress, I don't know what is, really. And it's clearly progress. So it looks as though mutations are probabilistic changes which tend towards increasing organized complexity over millions of years. Right. And that's so obvious. I don't see how anybody could deny it, really. But they do, because they're myopic, really. Biologists, I hope you're all listening, biologists. They're myopic. They just think that we take this little bit of organic history and look at that and look at all the mistakes that happen. But they forget about the overall change from unconscious rocks to conscious human beings capable of love and understanding and wisdom. And that's the universe changing, growing, developing, unfolding. Surely teleology is fundamental.
Right. So the teleology, the trajectory is clear. There is a trajectory from, as you say, this point of singularity at the very beginning, if one can talk in temporal terms, to today, when the universe has become conscious through us, at the very least through us. Yeah. And that's remarkable. And you see this ever-increasing complexity and order and beauty and wisdom, and you mentioned, and the higher values of love and joy and many other things also are part of that. And they're not just random epiphenomena that just kind of byproducts. They seem to be as one physicist said, the universe seemed to know we were coming. There seems to have been
David said that,
which is a lovely expression.
Yeah, I think that's right, and it's very hard to deny. And of course, a lot of scientists actually calling themselves transhumanists are aware that the process will go on. We're not the end of it, that consciousness will carry on and presumably evolve further. So that gives a perspective to it, which is more attractive, you know, than some people think evolution means we're all monkeys. Actually, it means no, that we were little eggs at one point, literally, all of us, but we're developing into conscious, rational, feeling, thinking beings. And that, if everybody says that's not a progress, I don't know what they would think progress was.
It's striking the odds. Is the elephant, to use the elephant again, the elephant in the room is this extraordinary trajectory, which is apparently denied by some anyway. Just in conclusion, perhaps to end, are you working on any projects at the moment in terms of books or other projects yourself?
Well, I'm thinking that I ought to stop, really. I've written quite a lot of books, and I suppose, apropos of what you're talking about, the one that I just happen to have with me. where have I put it? I can't get it. Anyway,
The Priority of Mind. Yes, I can see it. The Priority of Mind. Yes.
It's quite a short book. But that really puts the points that that we've been talking about today. So I've just finished that, and it's just been published.
Oh, it has been published, so I can link to it in the description below. Can I on the
yes? Yeah. It's okay. Published by Cascade,
right?
It's an American publisher. Anyway, so I've done that, so I'm having a rest at the moment. I haven't stopped thinking, but
no, which was impossible if you stop thinking. Well, no, I'll link to that. That's fantastic. Priority of Mind. I like the title there. It suggests a world of possibilities.
Yes,
very good. Thank you very much indeed, Professor Keith Wall, for your valuable time. Really appreciate it. I think I actually might link also to the Gresham College lecture, which is actually still online. Because I dug it up earlier on to see if it was around. It is.
That's actually the same. Did I say the same things, do you think?
Yes. Well, you didn't mention the Hotspur. There was something that was discovered in the last 10 years that you mentioned. I forgot what it was called now, but there was one more recent scientific development you couldn't have mentioned, because this lecture was more than 10 years ago. But other than that, broadly, it's the same.
Yeah, I think. Okay.
You haven't changed your mind.
No, good.
Good. So that's it. So thank you very much indeed, sir, for your time. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
And sorry about.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.